good to see so many of you out tonight. It's I tell you from time to time, and I don't tell you enough, that you're an amazing group of people. Probably a little nutty. If the world would look in here and see this many people on Sunday night and say, that's got to be a bunch of fanatics in there, especially on Christmas night. And so we thank the Lord for your being here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we want to turn in our Bibles tonight. I don't know why people say, we have some really crazy expressions. I don't know why people say they're trying to get a cold. Why would anybody try to get a cold? But I'm trying to get one. So I ask for your indulgence tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we want to read just one verse. It's verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this service tonight. What a blessing it is to be in your house on the day that we celebrate your birth. Why would we want to be anywhere else? And we thank you especially on this Christmas that it came on the first day of the week. And it brings before our minds not only your birth in the manger of Bethlehem, but you're being the first begotten from the dead on that first day of the week. We pray that you would help us to examine ourselves before you tonight. And so let us eat of that bread and drink of that cup and remember the Lord in his death for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The purpose of this meeting tonight is to remember the Lord in the Lord's Supper. To show the Lord's death, as we read in this 26th verse, because he has not come yet. We're to remember his death till he come. And he has not come on this night. Normally, we would have this service in January, the third Wednesday night in January. But the board felt that there would be no better night to have this remembrance feast and show the Lord's death than on this Christmas night. Because this service embodies the reason that the Lord Jesus came into the world. It sets before us in a very real and practical way the reason that he came into the world. And that is to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. The message of his death on the cross, the message of his person and his work, is the message that we find from the beginning of this book to the end of it. It's the message that we find in the first marriage in Genesis chapter 2, when we see pictured in the sleep of Adam, in the opening of his side to bring forth life. We see pictured the time when the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, would sleep the sleep of death on the cross of Calvary. And there God would open his side to provide a fountain for sin and uncleanness. And as the hymn writer has so beautifully written, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. We see the message of the cross in Genesis 3:15, in the prophecy of the coming seed of the woman who would bruise the head of the serpent and would have his heel bruised on the cross of Calvary. We see that message in Genesis 3:21 as the Lord shed the blood of sheep to provide coats of skin for Adam and Eve. We see the message of the cross in Genesis chapter 4 as Abel brings the firstling of his flock to sacrifice to the Lord. We see that message in Genesis chapter 5, as we noted a few weeks ago, in the meanings of the names in that genealogy. Man, appointed mortal sorrow, The blessed God shall come down teaching, his death shall bring hope to the despairing. We see the message of the cross in Genesis chapter 6 in the ark that was pitched within and without, with pitch. That word pitch is the same word that's translated atonement in the Old Testament. We see the message of the cross and the sacrifice of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22, where God told Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto a mountain that I will show thee of. And in that chapter, we read Abraham's very prophetic words to Isaac, his son. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. We see that message in Exodus chapter 12 as the Passover lamb is slain and the blood is applied as the only deliverance from the death and the bondage of Egypt. We see the cross in Leviticus in the various sin offerings. We see the message of the cross in the book of Numbers and the serpent of brass lifted up upon the pole. The Lord Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Deuteronomy, we see the precious blood of the Lord Jesus in the pure blood of the grape, squeezed and crushed under the weight of our sin on the cross of Calvary. In Joshua, we see the Lord Jesus as captain of the host of the Lord, the one who we learn in Hebrews is the captain of our salvation, made perfect through the sufferings of the cross. In Judges, we see the cross in the lion of Samson's riddle, out of whose death, out of whose carcass came sweetness. In Ruth, the Lord Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, we see the Lord Jesus in David, the rejected king of Israel. And we're reminded that the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Kings, we see the Lord Jesus in the cross, in the sacrifices, at the dedication of the temple. In Chronicles, we see it in the Passover kept by Josiah. In Ezra, we see the effect of the cross in the lives of Ezra and the people of God as they abased themselves and chastened themselves and submitted themselves to the Lord. In Nehemiah, we see the Lord Jesus in his person. We see his work in the gates of the city of Jerusalem. In Esther, we see the salvation of the Lord, saving the lives of his people from destruction. In Job, we see the Lord Jesus in the Redeemer who saves. In Psalm, and particularly in the 22nd Psalm, we see the sufferings. We see in great detail the sufferings of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. In Proverbs, we see him as the wisdom of God. In Ecclesiastes, he's the one who has been to the house of mourning for us. He's been first to the house of mourning. We're going to be there one day. It's appointed to us to die. One day, we're going to be in the house of mourning. And it's a blessing to see the Lord Jesus there before us. In Song of Solomon, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. In Isaiah, he's the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's the one whose soul God made an offering for sin. In Jeremiah, we see the Lord Jesus and his work on the cross illustrated in a very unusual way in a man by the name of Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian. A man who went forth out of the king's house, who went forth out of the place of safety and a place of blessing to go to deliver Jeremiah out of the miry clay. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven to come to this sin-cursed earth to die for people who hate him, to die for people whose every imagination of their thoughts, of their hearts, is only evil continually. To die for people whose heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That we might be brought up from the miry clay. In Lamentations, the Lord Jesus is the one whose mercies are new every morning and whose faithfulness is great. In Ezekiel, he's the one who gives dry, dead bones life. In Daniel, we see the cross in Daniel chapter 9, in Messiah the Prince, who was cut off, but not for himself. He was cut off for our sin and for our iniquity. In Hosea, the Lord Jesus is God's Son called out of Egypt. In Joel, the Lord is the one who calls his people to turn unto him with all their heart, because he's the one who is gracious and merciful. And nowhere else do we see the graciousness and the mercy of God than the cross of Calvary. He's slow to anger toward you and me, because his anger was poured out on his only begotten Son. And he's of great kindness. Kindness that he can show to you and I because of his death on the cross. In Amos, he's the Lord God of hosts. In Obadiah, he's the deliverer upon Mount Zion. In Jonah, he is the one who is the only provider and giver of salvation. In Micah, the Lord Jesus is the one who is prophesied, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In Nahum, he is Jehovah God. In Habakkuk, he's the Holy One. In Zephaniah, he is the Savior of Israel. In Haggai, he's the desire of all nations. In Zechariah, the Lord Jesus is God's servant, the branch. In Malachi, he's the refiner's fire. In Matthew, he is Jesus, who shall save his people from their sins. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In Acts, he's the crucified and risen Lord of glory. In Romans, he is the one who is just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. In Corinthians, he is Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. In Galatians, he's the one who came in the fullness of the time, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. In Ephesians, we find that he's the one who has made us nigh by the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary. In Philippians, the Lord Jesus is the one who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In Colossians, he's the firstborn from the dead. In Thessalonians, he's the one who is coming again. In Timothy, the Lord Jesus is the one who came into the world for one purpose, to save sinners. In Titus, he's the one in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In Philemon, he's the one who makes us profitable to him. In Hebrews, the Lord Jesus is the one who endured the cross. He's the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. In James, he's the Lord of Sabaoth. In Peter, he's the living stone. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In John's epistles, he is the true God and eternal life. In Jude, he's the only wise God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. In Revelation, he's the one who liveth and was dead, and behold, he is alive forevermore. He's the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. From Genesis to Revelation, this book is about his person. It's about his work. And on this Christmas night, we want to remember the reason that he came. We want to remember his death. We want to remember his body that was broken for us. We want to remember the blood that he shed that we might be saved. Do you know him tonight? Has he been born in your heart? What a wonderful day it would be to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. To have him born in your heart on this Christmas day. If we know him, are we living for him? If we know him, let us examine ourselves tonight. And so let us eat of that bread and drink of that cup.